ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The week in politics has been dominated by the fallout from the two stabbing attacks, with the focus shifting back onto the big tech companies as well. Lots to talk about with David Spears, the host of Insiders, and Samantha Maiden, the national political editor for news.com.au. Welcome to both of you, and David, to you. It's one of those weeks where big events overshadow everything else, and in fact our leaders must and should react entirely to these issues. How have they fared here?
I think generally the way they've all responded has been appropriate. And I think, you know, we also need to acknowledge the faith leaders, the different religious leaders, the way they've responded to this, I think was critical as well. Bishop Mario Emanuel, who was attacked even yesterday, offering forgiveness. I think all of that matters. But, you know, more directly, both Chris Minns in New South Wales, the Premier, and I think the Prime Minister in terms of leadership positions, they had to condemn things like the riot that followed that attack in Wakeley, but they were always wary of not wanting to inflame things too much. They were very conscious of the risk of retaliatory attacks, and fortunately that didn't happen. So I do think they were measured. I think trying to assure the community generally of that appropriate steps were being taken, National Security Cabinet assembling, the general terror alert was not elevated, so the community assured that there wasn't any wider threat. I think all of that was appropriate. Sure, there might have been an issue along the way during the week around who at the Bondi Junction Mall deserved a permanent residency and who didn't, and a bit of scrambling, but that seems to be all under control now. But generally speaking, I think the reaction from our political leaders has been appropriate. Separate to that is the social media discussion you touch on there. And clearly what we've seen, well, there's two things. There's the graphic material that the eSafety Commission is working with the platforms to remove, and I don't know if it has all been removed yet. But then the misinformation, things like the suggestion after Bondi Junction that it was an Islamist terror attack or that it was a local Jewish man, false claims, but spread like wildfire. And after the Wakeley attack, stuff suggesting that other churches or mosques might be being targeted, false claims spreading like wildfire. I think clearly what we've seen has strengthened the case for some tougher laws around misinformation and disinformation on social media and some serious penalties, even notwithstanding the concerns that have been expressed over recent months about free speech and censorship and so on. I think what we've seen this week is a reminder that this stuff can be really dangerous.
And the Bondi Junction attack saw women targeted. Sam, what did you make of Mark Dreyfus's comments about that? I mean, you know, he's saying that there's this crisis in safety for women, but there has been a different definition, which some community leaders, particularly in the Muslim community, are concerned about.
Well, I think that he's right to be cautious, because I think that we do have to wait to some extent until there's a coronial inquiry and whether it is possible at all to determine what the motivations were in relation to the man who went into that Westfield. Obviously, everyone is concerned about violence against women, as I am and as I'm sure many of your listeners are. But I think that it is, while it seems self-evident from the victims, I think it's too early to make that judgment, and that's basically all I would say about that.
David, on the religious discrimination laws, Mark Dreyfus really setting essentially a deadline there for middle of the year is the language he used for trying to get this through. What does that tell us?
Yeah, all but confirming a deadline there. He clearly doesn't want this dragging into the election campaign.
He said it.
Yeah. So what I took from the comments from the Attorney General there, though, was a lot more optimism, I think, about a bipartisan deal on this. I'm not saying it's by any means likely, but initially all the signals were this had a snowflake's chance. I think listening to Mark Dreyfus there, he said he had a very good meeting with Michaeli Cash, his opposite number, and hopes that we can bring this through the parliament in a bipartisan way. That sounded more hopeful, I think, than we've heard previously from the government. I'll believe it when I see it, because there are such deep differences over a lot of these tricky issues.
Yeah, there are. Now, Sam, this week we saw more reaction to the findings of the Lehman defamation case. As one of the journalists who broke the original story, and of course we just read Justice Lee's judgment if you want to know how complex this all got since, what was your reaction to the judgment?
Well, I think that it has been a long time coming for Brittany Higgins. You know, I mean, I think that obviously she can take some comfort from that. I think that people that experience sexual assault have a natural and understandable want to be believed and taken seriously. And, you know, there was never a criminal conviction. And, of course, it's still open to Mr. Lerman to appeal this result. That's still possible. But to have those words, you know, Mr. Lerman raped Ms. Higgins, come out of a federal court mouth of a federal court judge, I think would have been very important for her. So I think in that way it's very moving. I mean, I think some of the reaction has been interesting. I wrote a very long piece for news.com that you can go and look up if anyone's interested about some of the narratives that have emerged subsequently. So, for example, there's obviously the narrative that you picked up on in your interview about whether or not that compensation payout should have been paid and whether that needs to be looked at by the NAC, because the Justice Lee did say what he called the cover-up narrative wasn't sustained. But equally, we've also seen, as a result of that, Linda Reynolds making the point that she was obviously quite understandably distressed by the situation, that she was involved in a cover-up. The judge did not uphold the idea of a cover-up, but the point I made in the piece was, you know, the question of whether or not the government is completely vindicated, as Peter Dutton suggested in some of his press conferences, and the way they handled the matter, I think is a much more complex question. And that's something that I explored in that article, because there has been shifting stories about, you know, when the government knew, and what they knew doesn't go to a cover-up, but it does go to the fact that, you know, here you had a young woman who was 23 years old, her previous job was working in as a receptionist in a real estate agency. She's surrounded by powerful people. She sees people from the Prime Minister's office in the room. I think you can understand, as a compassionate person, that she might assume sometimes that some of those people knew more than they did about the allegation, in an environment where Linda Reynolds was also trying to protect her privacy. But I was quite shocked by Peter Dutton's reaction this week, where he basically didn't make any of those points, didn't have any message of support to a young woman who worked for the Liberal Party, who the federal court found was raped at work, and simply said that it was a vindication for Linda Reynolds. I don't think that was I think that was a pretty tone-deaf response.
Samantha Maiden, David Spears, thank you.
Thanks, Speaker.
Getting in touch with ABC RN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.